Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Sheni, Monday, the 12th day. No. Shabbos was the 9th. Shabbos was the 9th, so today's the 11th. Or today's the 10th. Today's the 8th. Anybody?
The fifth was Wednesday. Today's the 10th.
Okay, the 10th of ER 5786. I do that so nobody thinks this is pre-recorded, you know, make mistakes and everything like that. Corresponding this year to April 27th. Ah, Shabbos was the 8th, right? Tehillim Kuf, Mizmor LeTodah, Hariu Adonai Kol Haaretz, Ivdu Et Adonai B'Simcha, Bo'u Lefanav Bir Nana, Du'u Ki Adonai Hu Elohim, Hu Asanu V'lo Anachnu Amo V'Tzon Marito, Bo'u She'arav B'Todah, Chatzerotav B'Tehillah, Hodu Lo Borchu Shemo, Ki Tov Adonai Le'olam Chasto, V'Ador V'Ador Emunato. David, Kuf, chapter 20.
Yimalei Adonai kol mishalosecha. Ata yadati ki hashia Adonai mishicho. Yanehu mishmei kodesho. Bigvuros yesha yamino. Elev arech evye lev asusim. Vanachnu b'shem Adonai eloheinu nazkir. Heimor karu v'nafalu. Vanachnu kamnu v'nesodad. Adonai Hoshia, Hamelech Yaneinu, Biyom Kareinu.
Kuf Kaf Aleph, Shir Lama Alot, Asoinai El Heharim, May Ayin Yovo Ezri, Ezri, Mayim Adonai, Osei, Shamayim Vaoretz, Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum, Shomerecha, Hine Lo Yanum, Velo Yishan, Shomer Yisrael, Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha, Al Yad Yaminecha, Yomam Hashemesh lo yakecha v'yoreach b'loila. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha v'oecha me'ata v'yad olam. Mark.
Yishabirach Avosenu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov, who Yivarech Es Chayalei Tzva Haganah Yisrael, Vesantei Kol Kos HaBitachon, Ha'amadim Al Mishmar Arzenu Ve'arei Eloheinu, Ve'halochamim Ba'adenu, Min HaLavanon Ve'ad Midbar Mitzrayim, Min HaYam HaGadol Ad Vo'har Aval, Umakom Shehem Bayabasha Ba'avir Ubayam, Yitein Adonai Es Oyeveinu Akanim Aleinu, Nigafim Lifneihem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzmor Ve'Yatzil Es Chayaleinu Mikol Tzarah V'Tzukah, Mikol Nega Machalah, Ve'Yishlach Barachah Ve'Hatzlachah B'Chol Ma'aseh Yedeihem, Yadber son inu taftehem vi asherim becheser yitua uvateres yitachon vi kuyam bahem hakasuv vi Adonai Elohechem haolech imachem lehilachem lachem imo yireichem lahoshia asfem v'nimar amen.
Amen. Together, Achenu kol Beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam, bein bayabasha, bein ba'avir, ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziem, mitzara liyirvacha, u'meafela le'ora, u'mishibud le'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, v'nomar amen. Okay, folks, Parshat Emor is the Buzz Aldrin, K2, Avis, John Adams, Moshe Charette, Amazon, and China of the mitzvah list. Mark?
I understood most of them, not the Amazon reference.
Amazon, I think, is the second largest bookstore in the world.
Second. Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway, all of those things that I mentioned are second. Who was the first person on the moon? Neil Armstrong. Who was the second person? Buzz Aldrin, who interestingly had the character from the animated movie Buzz Lightyear named after him, and his mother's maiden name was Moon. I thought that was cool. Mark, how many people have ever stepped on the moon? The answer is 12. And since 1972, very, very recently, for the very first time in all those years, I sort of remember when 1972 wasn't that long ago. But since then, we've had a trip around the moon again. This year, 2026, not since 1972. And it's in preparation for another landing on the moon at some point. And this time, it's not Russia that's the competition, I think, but it's China. Anyway, enough of that. So K2 is the second tallest mountain in the world, and John Adams was the second president of the United States, and Moshe Sharet was the second prime minister of Israel. And I like to ask people who preceded him and who followed him. The answer is David Ben Gurion. David Ben Gurion quit. I think he got angry at the Knesset, and then Moshe Sharet took over long enough to have him on the old 20 shekel notes, and then Ben Gurion took it back or something like that. And China used to be the most populous country in the world, but I think Japan has it beat now. India has it beat now. India is number one and China is number two. Anyway, Parshat Emor is number two in mitzvot. The most mitzvot in the Torah are in Parshat Ki Teitzeh in Devarim, 74. And second place comes Emor with 63 mitzvot. Now, last week, Kedoshim, the second of the two Sedras, we had 51 mitzvot, which is a lot, yachasit, and they were scattered all over the place. Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, Bein Adam L'Makom, Eretz Yisrael, all over the world, in the olden times, just now, just in the olden times, now also, and they were coming flying at you from all different directions. Parshat Emor is very yekish. You have a bunch of mitzvot related to the Kohen, Kohen Gadol, the disqualifying blemishes of the Kohen, the disqualifying blemishes of the animals to be korbanot. And then you have the section of the holidays. Very organized list of mitzvot. As I said, not like Kedoshim, where they're all over the place. So I want to use this to highlight some of these mitzvot. And the first idea, which we've discussed in the past, but I want to mention it again, is a mitzvah that has a positive and a prohibition, which basically say the same thing. Let's take kashrut. Not allowed to eat an animal when it's still alive. That's an Isur of Eiver Minachai. You're not allowed to eat a nevela, which is an animal that died other than by shechita. You're not allowed to eat a treifa, which is an animal that had proper shechita, but it was discovered to have had some kind of blemish, which was fatal. Had it not had shechita first, would have been fatal. And we're not allowed to eat those either. Treifa literally means torn apart. And we're talking about an animal that's like a sheep that a pack of wolves attacked and rip the animals apart. They're still breathing, but to shech them, you still can't use the meat because it's a treifa. And in today's context, that's less common, but you have other things which the people who do the shechita and the bedikah and the Rav HaMachshir all take care of. We don't have to worry about that. But there are certain signs within the animal, the cow, the sheep, even a chicken, which would indicate that it would not have survived long term. And it makes the animal a trefa, which we're forbidden to eat. So, how are we supposed to be able to eat? Only by shechita. Shechita does not have to be a mitzvah. Shechita has to be the method by which we can avoid the isur of nevela and trefa and evar min hachai. So when the Torah commands us to shecht, and when Chazal count shechita as a positive mitzvah, and when they say the shochet has to make a bracha, asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al hashechita, it's telling you something. This is not what I started with the positive and negative. We'll get there. But this is something else. This is a mitzvah that technically wouldn't be necessary. If shechita would be just the method by which you avoid isurim, it wouldn't be something to glorify. You want to eat meat? You have Torah's permission to eat meat. You can't eat just any animal, has to be a kosher animal. Can't eat a evar min hachai, can't eat nevela, can't eat trefa. So you have to do shechita. The fact that the Torah presented shechita in the form of a mitzvah taseh, and Chazal, who counted mitzvot, number it among the 613, and as I mentioned, gave it the bracha of Asher Kiddishanu b'mitzvotav. You're saying God, who sanctifies us with his mitzvot and commanded shechita. That brings shechita to a much higher level. It's no longer just a practical method to get kosher meat. It is a mitzvah. Now, it's not an obligatory mitzvah. It is a mitzvah that would be called a mitzvah chiyuvit. You could go through your whole lifetime without doing shechita. And I would say for everyone that I'm looking at here, both in pictures and names, I don't think any of you have done shechita. If you have, let me know. But not having done shechita is not a sin. It's not that kind of mitzvah taseh like Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon is an obligation. Well, it's a bad example because you have to eat a meal in order to be obligated on Birkat HaMazon. And you have to, so I don't know if it's exactly the same. Let's say tefillah. Davening is an obligation. You go through a whole day without davening, you're sinning. You haven't fulfilled the mitzvah to daven. How much? That's another story. When it comes to shechita, it's a mitzvah kiyumit. If a person does shechita, then he fulfills a mitzvah aseh. But if he doesn't do shechita, I'm not talking about he kills the animal in some other way and eats it. That would be a sin. But you get the point, I hope. Shechita is not an obligation. You might think it is, in which case that would be a piece of evidence against vegetarianism, but it's not like that. It's totally optional, and that's called a mitzvah kiyumit. Now, we have within Parshat Emor the portion of the Moadim, the festivals. This is also the Torah reading of the second day of Pesach. the Torah reading of the first day of Sukkot, and for some of you, the first 2 days of Sukkot, and it deals with the cycle of the Chagim. It's interesting to look at the language because it raises some questions there. We're talking about Perek Chof Gimel, chapter 23 in Vayikra. God says to Moshe, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, Moadei Hashem, the festivals of God, Asher Tikru'u Otam, that you shall declare, Mikra'e Kodesh, as holy, Elohim Moadai. These are my festivals. God is saying, you have to be the ones to declare them. And we do that by the calendar. And they are his holidays. It starts then with Sheshet Yamim, Te'aseh Melacha. 6 days work can be done. Uvayom Hashvi'i, Shabbat Shabbaton, Mikra Kodesh. And on the seventh day, it is declared holy. Kol Melacha lo ta'asu, Shabbat hi l'Adonai b'chol moshvoteichem. It is declared a Shabbat. Within that pasuk, it says, work for 6 days and rest on the seventh, which is a Shabbat Shabbaton. That brings to mind Yom Kippur. And it is a Shabbat for God, which brings to mind regular Shabbat. So the question is, which is it talking about? Again, the pasuk that says 6 days work shall be done, and on the seventh day you shall rest. On the seventh day, it is a day of rest and holy. Kol Malacha lo ta'asu. What's that talking about? Pshat, the plain understanding seems to be that it's talking about Shabbos. Elohim Moadai, these are my festivals. First one on the list is Shabbat. In fact, on Friday night Kiddush, we call Shabbat Rishon Hu L'Mikra'i Kodesh. It's the first of the days that are called holy. But then the question is, why is the next pasuk, Ele Moadei Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Otam B'Moadam? Says it again. It first says, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, my festivals shall be declared Kodesh. These are them. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, Shabbos. Ele Moadei Hashem Mikroi Kodesh Asher Tikru'u Otam B'Moadam. Again. And then it continues with Pesach and the Omer and Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So let's say the main common understanding is it was a summary. Sorry, not a summary. It was a description of Shabbat. Shabbat is usually not referred to as a moed. Those are the festivals that are based on the calendar. But here it seems to be saying, as we echo, as I said in Kiddush, that it is Rishon Hu L'Mikra'i Kodesh. The Vilna Gaon looks at that pasuk and said it's not talking about Shabbos. It's talking about the seven Yom Tovim, first day Pesach, seventh day Pesach, day of Shavuot, day of Rosh Hashanah, day of Yom Kippur, first day of Sukkot, and Shmini Atzeret. Those are 7 days, six of which you can do some malacha, but on the seventh of them, meaning Yom Kippur, it's Shabbat Shabbaton. And kol malacha lo ta'asu, you can't do any manner of malacha, it's like Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon says this portion, chapter 23, deals with the festivals that we get from the calendar. It's not talking about Shabbat. I don't know if he skipped that in Kiddush or he reworded Kiddush. I can't believe that he would have done that. But it's called Rishon Hu LeMikra Kodesh. Vilna Gaon says the Pasuk is not talking about Shabbos. The Shabbat Shabbaton there is talking about Yom Kippur. And the day is forbidden all manner of melacha. I like that, but it has holes in it, either way that you look at it. And you know that I've counted out there are six times in the Torah that Shabbat Shabbaton is mentioned. Two are definitely Yom Kippur, two are definitely Shabbat, one is Shemitah, and then there's this one, which maybe is Shabbat and maybe is Yom Kippur. So the final score for Shabbat Shabbaton is 2.5 for Shabbos, 2.5 points for Yom Kippur, and 1 point in third place for Shnat HaShemitah. Okay, then you have, before we get to Pesach, you have Korban Pesach. And it's mentioned here, even though its primary location is back in Parshat Bo, where we are introduced to it for the first time. And here it just says, Bachodesh HaRishon, Nisan, B'arba'a Asar LaChodesh, on the 14th of the month, Bein Ha'arbayim, in the afternoon, Pesach LaShem, Korban Pesach. You know that the Torah doesn't call what we call Pesach, Pesach. It calls Erev Pesach, Pesach, because of the Korban Pesach. And the holiday is called Chag HaMatzot. Okay, so there's one pasuk that sort of, okay, we got to start from the beginning. The beginning is Korban Pesach, which is our Erev Pesach. And then we get into the Chagim. Uvachamishasar yom lachodesh hazeh. And on the 15th of the month, Chag HaMatzot Lashem, Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu. You have a 7-day holiday on which you eat matzah each day. Bayom harishon mikra kodesh yihyeh lachem, kol melechet avodah lo ta'asu. On the first day, it shall be declared holy, and for you, and all melechet avodah cannot be done. Again, I feel always guilty when I repeat an idea because I don't know how good your memories are, but it needs to be presented in the following way. Back in Parshat Bo, first introduction to Yom Tov, before here. This is Parshat HaMoadim, but we're introduced to Yom Tov back in Parshat Bo with Pesach. There, the Torah has to spell out the issue of melacha. It says on the first day of Pesach, then later it says same thing goes for the seventh. On the first day of Pesach, kol melacha lo yaseh vehem, no manner of work could be done. Ach, asher yochel lechol nefesh, except what brings food to the table. After that, the Torah uses a what's the right word? A nickname. It uses the expression Mikra Kodesh, which means abstain from melacha, not all melachot, but most. And Melechet Avodah is what you're not allowed to do. So plowing a field is called Melechet Avodah. You can't do it on Yom Tov. Cooking is part of Kol Melacha, but it's not Melechet Avodah, so you could cook on Yom Tov. And as we've gone over before the Chagims, each one, the Torah Sheba'al Peh and Chazal shape which melachot you're allowed to do and which melachot you're not allowed to do and which ones you should do Erev Yom Tov if you have the time and you could do it because it doesn't spoil, and which ones can definitely be done on Yom Tov itself. So that's the way it goes. Now, so in that pasuk, you have two mitzvot. You have Mikra Kodesh, that is a slang, not slang, that is a nickname for the mitzvot aseh to abstain from malacha. And then you have, you shall not do any melechet avodah. That's the prohibition. And this is what I was referring to at the beginning when I said there are mitzvot that have a mitzvot aseh and a mitzvot lo ta'aseh, and one of them is not necessary. Because if the Torah would just say you can't do malacha on Yom Tov, it obviously means that you have to abstain from malacha. Same thing we had in last week's parsha of Acharei. If you have to fast on Yom Kippur, then you're not allowed to eat or drink. If you're not allowed to eat or drink on Yom Kippur, then you have to fast. And yet the mitzvot are counted separately, one positive mitzvah and one prohibition. Now, I have to remind you that there is no hard and fast rule about how you count mitzvot. If you or I were to sit down with a chumash and decide, I'm going to make up my own list of 613. It can't be arbitrary, but you might say that the prohibition of malacha I'll put on my list, and I won't count a mitzvot aseh to avoid malacha. There is no obligation that you have to say that's one of the mitzvot. It just so happens that all of the mitzvah counters count it. And you have to also remember that the number 613 is very restrictive because no matter how you count mitzvot, you got to end up with 613. And among those 613, 248 are mitzvot ta'aseh and 365 are mitzvot lo ta'aseh. And that is a very restricting kind of rule. You go through the Torah and you count mitzvot, list them as you go through the whole Torah, now count them up, and some people will end up with 842, and they know that number 613, so they have to go back to their list and say, okay, I was a little too generous in counting. I counted the first day of Pesach as one set of Isurim, and the seventh day of Pesach is another set of Isurim, and I have too much, so I'll remove that, make it Yom Tov of Pesach. On the other hand, someone who ends up with only 350 mitzvot is going to have to go back over his list and say, I combined too many things. Let's separate these. And I missed these and I missed that. This is what had happened post Gemara, post Talmudic time, when the generations that followed said, hey, we know that there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah. Why? Because the Mishnah tells us that there are 613, a Braita really, tells us there are 613 mitzvot in the Torah. Well, what are they? At that time, imagine no Sefer HaChinuch, that came later, no Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, that came later. The first people who sat down and said, I want to count out the 613 mitzvot of the Torah, were among the Gaonim, post-Talmudic, before the Rishonim, before Rashi, before Rambam, before Ramban, and all of those guys. And they had no precedent. They just sat down and they worked. And they polished the list until they were satisfied with it. And they did this by themselves, and other Gaonim did the same thing. And when they matched, compared lists, they didn't always match. And I imagine if they knew about each other, they got into arguments. And if not, they just left their list. I thought the most telling thing is a sefer that I have called Mitzvot Hashem, where it counts, it starts with the Rambam's 613 and all of the ones that the Ramban doesn't count or combines or separates. And then the ones that the Ramban Nachmanides adds to the list, positive and prohibitions. And then the book has a footnote, not a footnote, a little note. It says, if you do the arithmetic and you start with 613 and you subtract all of the ones that the Ramban knocks out, and you add all the ones that the Ramban adds, don't be surprised that you'll come to 616 mitzvot. Now listen, not that there are 616 mitzvot in the Torah. There are 613. The Ramban admitted that he wasn't able to trim the list in any normal logical way. So he says, here's my 616. They include the 613 mitzvot. Go through it and decide what you're not counting because I can't do it. Reminds me of packing a suitcase where a sleeve is sticking out. You're really not supposed to cut off the sleeves. You're supposed to open the suitcase again and squeeze it in, but sort of reminds me of that idea. And the bottom line is it almost doesn't make a difference. Something could be a mitzvah, half of a mitzvah, two mitzvot, and the halacha is essentially going to be the same. The mitzvot don't determine halacha lemaaseh. Mitzvot is a separate, precious counting of the jewels of the Torah based on an ancient tradition that there are 613 mitzvot. If one is left out, it's still there in the Torah. It's still going to be a mitzvah. And the arguments could be very logical in favor or taking them away. I'll give you one example. Rambam says the laws of inheritance are one mitzvah. That includes, oh, I said laws of inheritance, and their tirzah are perked up. The laws of inheritance, the Rambam, Maimonides says, is one mitzvah. It includes leaving an estate to the eligible heirs. It forbids disinheriting an eligible heir. It is the mitzvah to give a double portion to a bechor. It forbids taking away the double portion of the bechor. So those are four things that you might say are mitzvot. Here's a pasuk, there's another one, there's another one, there's another one. In fact, the Ramban, Nachmanides says, ke'ilu, I don't know what he was talking about, putting it all in one mitzvah. It's four clear mitzvot in the Torah. So the Ramban counts them separately, and the Rambam doesn't. Don't worry, because there are plenty of other mitzvot that they argue about. And eventually it evens out, with the exception of what I just told you about the extra three, which probably not everybody agrees to. And that's the story. But you want to study halacha, you open up Shulchan Aruch. You want to study mitzvot for the sake of, I don't know if you could say enjoyment, but it is a very enjoyable study. Especially with the Rambam's list or the Sefer Achinuch, which are the two popular ones. And then when you get into the Ramban's comments on the Rambam, you really have fun. And the commentaries like Minchas Chinuch make it very thing. And you could go through Shiurim every week, every day, and then realize I didn't learn any halacha lemaisa here. Now, a person who wants to learn halacha lemaisa is not going to learn it from the Rambam's list of mitzvot. He'll learn it maybe from the Rambam's Mishneh Torah and not from the Sefer Achinuch, but yes, the Shulchan Aruch and other sources of halacha. So it's a precious, I don't know what the right word is. It is precious. So look what you have here. That's why you have 63 mitzvot in Emor. Mitzvah to abstain from malacha on the first day of Pesach. Prohibition against doing malacha on the first day of Pesach. mitzvah to bring korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash, specifically Musaf, on Pesach. That's three. Same thing for the seventh day. Same thing for Shavuot. Same thing for Rosh Hashanah. Same thing for Yom Kippur. Same thing for the first day of Sukkot, actually every day of Sukkot, with the Korbanot. But see, that's a, you know, maybe a an illogical thing here. The prohibition, no, the mitzvah to rest from malach on the first day of Pesach is counted. The prohibition of doing malach on the first day of Pesach is counted. The mitzvah to bring korban musaf on all 7 days. So those are not counted seven different times. Then you have the mitzvah of abstaining from malacha on the seventh day, and the prohibition against doing work on the seventh day of Pesach. So that's five mitzvot that deal with Pesach from here. This is not counting the mitzvah to eat matzah and the bringing of the korban Pesach and the prohibition of breaking a bone in the korban Pesach or leaving over for the morning. There's a whole much longer list of mitzvot related to Pesach. But from this context, in Parshat Emor, there are five. And Rosh Hashanah follows that, and Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Again, Sukkot, a mitzvah to abstain from malacha on the first day, prohibition against doing malacha on the first day, the mitzvah to bring musaf on each day of Sukkot, even though they're counted separately. And then you have a separate one because Shmini Atzeret is a Chag Bifnei Atzmo. I don't know if I'm confusing you or boring you, but I want to just go over that last thing. First day of Pesach and seventh day of Pesach, when it comes to Malacha, both abstaining and forbidding, those are counted separately. When it comes to Korbanot, Musaf, there's one mitzvah to bring a korban on the 7 days of Pesach. Sukkot, there's the same two mitzvot on the first day and on the eighth day. Korbanot, one through seven is one mitzvah. And the eighth day is a holiday by itself. Shmini Atzeret is a Chag Bifnei Atzmo, in addition to be calling itself, to being called the eighth day of Sukkot. So it counts separate. Now, again, if you ever look at a list of mitzvot in any given Seder, and it doesn't seem logical to you, know that there is no ironclad logic or reasoning that applies. The Rambam had to make 14 rules as to how you count mitzvot, because they didn't exist before him. And then he followed the rules. So the Ramban came along a generation later and said, I don't have to follow the Rambam's rules for counting mitzvot. I don't agree with them. And he counts them differently. But you will always be able to look on a list of mitzvot and say, wait a minute, that's not consistent. That's not logical. How many mitzvot is tefillin? Tefillin are two mitzvot. Tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. Why? Because they stand on their own. If a person has a bandage all over his head, he only puts on tefillin shel yad. If a person has a cast from his shoulder down to his fingertips, he only puts on a shel rosh. They're separate, and that's enough for the Rambam to say two separate mitzvot. But that's not necessarily a rule. A person could have said tefillin is a mitzvah. It usually has two parts to it, and under unusual circumstances, you could do one without the other, but that doesn't mean you have to count it separately. And the Rambam himself, in the same portion, says mitzvah to recite Shema twice a day. Wait a minute. There's Shema in the morning, there's Shema in the evening. Each one stands on its own. Each one has wording in the pasuk to point to. But he says, no, not going to count that as two mitzvot, it's one mitzvah. So already you can see a not quite 100% logic and reasoning that goes into mitzvot, and that's perfectly fine because they are constricted to the number 613. Now, just fine-tune. The mitzvah of matzah from Pesach is back in Parshat Bo. Until here, there has not been a mention of lulav, arba minim, or sukkah. So they're counted here. And that's fine, because in addition to what are the mitzvot in the Torah, is a different question of where do you point? Shabbat is mentioned a number of places, I think 12 places altogether, but it's not counted as a mitzvah here in Parsha Kedoshim. Et Shabtotai Tishmoru, my Shabbat you shall keep. It's not counted among the mitzvah. It's already been counted in different place. Here, it has a purpose. It's linked to the Beit HaMikdash, et Shabtotai tishmoru umikdashi tirau ani Hashem. But we don't count it as a mitzvah here. We have in Parshat, let's leave it at that. I was going to go back to Kedoshim, but we have enough here in Emor to talk about. So where it is counted could sometimes be, I had no choice. Example, Rosh Hashanah. Okay, look at what you have in Rosh Hashanah in this parsha. The mitzvah of abstaining from malacha on Rosh Hashanah. Good. The prohibition of doing malacha on Rosh Hashanah. Good. The mitzvah of bringing korban musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Fine. What's missing here is shofar. So you look in the pasuk and it says, it doesn't say blow the shofar. It says the day is a Yom Zichron Trua. Yom Zichron Trua is not a language that can be defined by oral law as the mitzvah to blow shofar. You have to go to Parshat Pinchas, where the Korbanot Musaf are spelled out. And there it says, Yom Teruah Yihyeh Lachem. And that is defined in Torah Sheba'al Peh as the mitzvah to blow shofar. But it's not here. So matzah is not here because it's already been. Shofar is not here because it doesn't really fit the wording and it's coming up later. Lulav and Esrog are here because this is where they are. Get the idea? So it's a challenge to piece this together. Take a look at something else here. This is a little thing. From Parshat Emor, you have the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Musaf on Pesach, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, on Sukkot. What did I leave out? Shavuot. For Shavuot, it has the mitzvah of abstaining from malacha on Shavuot. The prohibition against doing malacha on Shavuot does not mention Korban Musaf. So you open up the Chumash to this parsha, Emor, and you see, well, what does it say about Shavuot? First of all, Shavuot comes following the Omer. You have Usfartem lachem imacharat ha-shabbat, miyom haviyachem et Omer ha-tenufa, 7 full weeks. עד ממחר לשבת השביעי תספרו 50 יום, והקרבתם מנחה חדשה להשם. You bring the mincha chadasha, which are the two loaves of chametz, breads that are brought on Shavuot. Then, v'hikravtem al halechem, shivat kivasim tamimim b'nei shana. You bring together with the shtei halechem seven sheep, ufar ben bakar echad, and one ox, a bull, ve'elim shnayim, and two rams. Yehiyu ola l'ashem, u'minchatam v'nizkehem yishe l'reach nicholach l'ashem. That's not korban musaf. That is the korbanot that accompany the shtei halechem. So you have to go to Parshat Pinchas, and there it mentions the musaf of Pesach, sorry, already counted it. Musaf of Shavuot, yeah, that's the first time, count it there. Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, see Parshat Emor. Yom Kippur, see Parshat Emor. Sukkot, see Parshat Emor. And that's the way it goes in a lot of examples of mitzvot. Comments, questions? I feel my mother saying, stop hocking them a Chinook. Susan, did your mother say that? So why are you laughing? Do you know what it means?
I do know what it means. Driving them mad. Stop driving them mad.
What does it literally mean?
Oh, I don't know. Hocking is, I don't know.
I think it means banging on a tea kettle.
A tea kettle?
China. A Chinook is a tea kettle.
Okay, Sfirat HaOmer seems strange that the Torah gets up to it when we're already past the halfway mark, which, by the way, was last night. Today, we counted 25, which is the middle of 49, 24 before, and another 24 coming up. But this was the reading of the second day of Pesach, which was perfect because that's the day we started to count. So here it is in the context of Parshat HaShavua, and that doesn't have to match anything particularly. But you do have the origin of the famous dispute as to whether the counting of the Omer today is a Torah law or a rabbinic law. If the majority of authorities say it's a rabbinic law today because we don't have an Omer HaTenufa, the barley off on the second
on
day.
The second.
Mute yourself, Judy, or I will mute you. Yeah. We don't have a barley offering on the second day of Pesach. We don't have Shtei Alechem on Shavuot without a Beit HaMikdash. So what are you counting? You're counting in between that and that. And most authorities say we count as a rabbinic command, Zecher LeMikdash, to remember what happens in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Rambam is a notable exception to that rule, to that opinion. He says today it is Deoraita also, because they counted the Omer when they came out of Mitzrayim. They didn't call it the counting of the Omer. They counted the 7 weeks between when they left Egypt, starting on the following day, until they stood at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And that aspect has nothing to do with the barley offering and the Shtei HaLechem of Shavuot. And therefore, the mitzvah of Usfartem Lachem remains Deoraita to this day. There are halachic ramifications of the difference, but I think the mainstream psak is that it's derabanan. In which case, you have a little problem with the hineni muchan mezuman. How many, by the way, not that I'm writing down your answer there, how many people just say the bracha and count and don't say anything before or after it? Okay. And how many say Hinini Muhonim Zuman, Lakayim Mitzvah Taseh, Shal Sfirat Omer? Thank you, Naomi. You should know that in general, the Vilna Gaon, to be specific, was not favorably disposed to any of the Hinini Muhonim Zumans. He said, you have a mitzvah, you're supposed to put your mind into the frame of doing the mitzvah, and you make a bracha and you do the mitzvah. He didn't see the reason. I'm surprised at that because he might not have needed a Hinini Muhonim Zuman, but I would think that most of us do. It allows you to focus. But listen to the problem in the wording. Hinini Muhonim Zuman Lakayim Mitzvah Taseh Shel Sfirat HaOmer K'moshe Katuv BaTorah. Now that works only according to the Rambam, that it's a mitzvah taseh today from the Torah. If it's a derabbanan, what makes more sense is to follow the count, which is what some of us do, by saying, Horachaman hu yachazir lanu avodat beit hamikdash lemekoma b'mheirav yomeinu amein selah. That would put it into the context of being commemorative and something to remember the Beit HaMikdash and long for the future when it's restored. And then after that, there are a whole bunch of other paragraphs, so I'll have to admit that I don't say those either. They're Kabbalistic, and but I do say Harachamon hu yachazir lanu, and I also say Hinini Muchan HaMezuman. And actually, those who are very picky, I've never seen it in a Siddur, but I saw it in a sefer that said you really should say Hinini Muchan HaMezuman L'Kayim Mitzvat Sfirat HaOmer, not Mitzvat Taseh Shel Sfirat HaOmer, and not K'moshe Katuv BaTorah, but I forgot the wording. Something like that to say it's based on the Torah. Anyway, I'm babbling a little bit here. I'm sorry. Let me put that into a certain context. There are mitzvot that are purely rabbinic. They never were from the Torah. They're only rabbinic, like Shabbos candles, like Megillat Esther, like Hanukkah candles. There are other mitzvot derabbanan which were and will be d'oraita, but now they're considered derabbanan, like Maror at the Seder table. Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al achilat Maror. Yes, God commanded us to eat Maror together with matzah and the Korban Pesach. Doesn't apply today. Derabbanan, we have to do it. But they also said to us, Derabbanan, keep the same bracha. Don't make it less by omitting the bracha or changing the text of the bracha. And we do that even with pure derabbanans. Asher kiddishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner shel Shabbat. Doesn't say to do that in the Torah. That's a rabbinic law. So you know that there are psukim that tell you have to keep what the rabbis tell you to do also, Sanhedrin. And that's the justification to refer to it as God having commanded us. But realistically, and sometimes actually applicable, some differences, you need to know what's a d'oraita and what's a d'rabbanan. So, that's the story with Sfirat HaOmer. It's a possible d'oraita if you follow the Rambam. It's a possible d'rabbanan if you follow everybody else. I'm sure there are some people who agree with the Rambam, but he's the most vocal on that issue. And one interesting nafkamina, meaning a practical halachic difference, would be for a kid who turns the age of mitzvot, 13 for a boy, 12 for a girl, during the Omer. The Rambam would say, can't continue counting with a bracha, because the d'oraita requirement didn't exist until day 25. And when you start counting on a d'oraita level at day 25, you don't have complete counting. And therefore, we follow the opinion of not saying a bracha because of suffek bracha lahakel. If it's d'rabbanan, which most people say, then a kid who counted up to his birthday can continue counting with a bracha because it's d'rabbanan before chinuch, and it's d'rabbanan now, zecher lemikdash, and that's not enough of a difference to take away from the completeness of the count. This was a very popular Dvar Torah back when I was bar mitzvah during the Omer, especially since my parsha was Tazria Metzora and I wasn't ready at 13 to speak about sexually transmitted diseases or menstruating women or most of the topics that you have there of skin lesions and stuff like that. So you had at least a couple of Sfirat HaOmer Divrei Torah that were popular. That's it. We'll talk more about we'll talk about Pesach Sheni on Wednesday, Amir Tzashem. Friday is Pesach Sheni, and I have a new sort of insight as to why it's on the calendar, even though we hardly do anything to mark it, but it has a significance.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. You're
Just
welcome.
to explain, when I come onto Zoom, for some reason it automatically goes on not mute when I click into mute Zoom.
That's okay. No offense taken.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome, Roseanne.
Hope to see you on time on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good Yom HaAtzmaut.
I was it that day? No, a couple of days before, we finally bought what we've been meaning to since we moved into the apartment, bought a grill, a gas grill. On the morning of Erev Yom HaAtzmaut, Yom HaZikaron, I called up, I found out from my son-in-law. So I called up this place that delivers the gas canisters. The first time you buy it, and then they just change it, stuff like that. And they came 2 hours after I had called them. So I prepared stuff for the grill for the next day. And then 2 hours before we were going to do it on our own, because all my kids were, you know, elsewhere. A couple that we know, good friends, called and said they just got back from the States this morning. They just slept off a little bit of their jet lag. And Debbie said, "Want to come for a grill?" So they came and it was very nice. My first use of it, I discovered that there's a lot of cleanup after it.
Oh.
You have a grill?
We have several, but yeah, we have I've actually one gas and one charcoal. And I actually the gas is certainly easier, but I prefer the charcoal. And I'm not, there are barbecues, there are grill snobs who say, you know, if you're grill, I'm not, that's not it. I just I for me I can be I for whatever reason I find I can be more precise with the charcoal, which actually makes more sense, but in terms of
Well, if you're asking did I burn anything, the answer was yes.
it's practically a given that they're
But it was
Saying it can say
nice experience because I mean I've done it before on little chadpami one time things, you know. But this is
yeah. Nice. Good. That's nice. Very nice. Very nice. I meant to say, I know today's the 10th of ER. For some, you know what? For some reason, it got in my head, and I was kept trying to figure it out. What Jewish date it was? And sometimes, you know, I said, okay, well, for Wednesday was Yom HaAtzmaut, and this year was the 5th because we talked about that. So, well, okay, that Wednesday's the 12th. Subtract 2. Today's 10th, and then I got a reminder that today is my daughter's Jewish birthday. And oh, sure enough, yeah, 10th of Iyar. So I got that confirmation.
very good.
And most of the time, I actually remember both those things. And this year, I had a bunch of distractions. So, all right, see you Wednesday, God willing.
Very good. Bye-bye.
Bye.